As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness. And right after that, we say, thanks be to God. And it's a strange way to start the morning. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's been getting kind of crowded out here in the outer darkness lately. These past few weeks, people have been joining us out there. If you look around a little, you'll see people you might remember. 5 bridesmaids with no oil in their lamps, locked out of a wedding reception at night. A man in his work clothes, kicked out of a different wedding feast. And the most recent arrival, a cautious slave holding the shovel he used to bury his master's money. What's that terrible grinding noise? Oh, of course, yes, it's the gnashing of teeth. The thing is, each person here could present themselves as a helpless victim. I was just walking down a road, and a man came up to me who I didn't know, and he invited me to a wedding feast. And of course, I went because, hey, a free feast. But then the host tied me up and threw me out of the door because I hadn't put on a wedding robe. Outrageous. We were being good bridesmaids. We waited and waited and waited while the bridegroom was delayed. Then we got locked out just because we had to go and buy oil. My boss gave me this huge pile of money, 1 talent, about 15 years' wages for a working man. He's a real harsh man, and I didn't want to take any chances, so I buried it, and here I am. Maybe these parables strike us that way too. Maybe you hear them, as I sometimes do, as strange stories of unfortunate victims being treated outrageously. If so, I'd like to invite you to stop. In fact, I'd like you to join me and go a little bit deeper. Because if we get stuck there, at the surface of the parables, we'll never get what's there for us. Go deeper. Because clearly, these aren't fables illustrating how to behave at wedding receptions or how to treat your employees. Clearly, it's not okay to tie someone up and throw them into the street because they didn't wear the right clothes to your party. And clearly, it's not okay to abuse an employee because they didn't double your money. These aren't fables of proper behavior. They're parables of crisis and responsibility. And they're crucial for us. They're crucial for us, Christians in the 21st century, trying our best to be good disciples. They're crucial for us at this particular moment in our community life together, in our path through the church year. We're entering into a new season, not just decorative gourd season, but a new season in the life of the church, when we are really going to be thinking hard about what it means to say that third clause in our Eucharistic declaration of faith. That's the part where we say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. You'll notice in the coming weeks, our Bible readings and our hymns and our prayers will often take us to thoughts about end times. Sometimes in the prophetic, even apocalyptic language of the Old Testament, sometimes in the theological reflections of Paul, sometimes in the words of Jesus, when he wonders if he'll find faith when he returns to the earth. And sometimes we modern, sophisticated folks have trouble figuring out what to do with those stories. I'm not going to walk around with a sign saying, "Repent, the end is nigh." Not because it's wrong, but because my kids would never talk to me again. I'm not going to cash in my 401k and take that trip to Patagonia I've always wanted to do because, hey, the end is almost here, because my wife would never talk to me again. So what does it all mean? What does all this talk that we're entering into about the end times, what does it mean for us? And how does it affect the way we choose to live our lives? And can it perhaps shed some light on these mysterious parables? Maybe this will help. I hope so. This season, these stories are reminders. They remind us that as crazy and chaotic and upside down as this world might sometimes seem to us, as messy and as unpredictable and hard to understand as things might get for us, this world is moving towards a goal. We are headed somewhere. History is not just a meaningless sequence of events. It's going somewhere. There's a purpose and an end. Time is not just an endlessly repeating cycle of weeks and months and years. Everything is heading towards a final outcome. And the church is reminding us through these stories and prayers and hymns what that outcome is. It's what we call the kingdom of God. And it's that place and time where the veil that now separates God's realm from ours will finally drop. And that distance between us and God, between the Creator and His creatures, will finally be closed and we'll be reunited. And the world will be brought back through Jesus to God its source, and we'll be reconciled with Him and with one another. We don't know very much about the how and the when, and we're not supposed to. But the fact that it's happening, that's a foundation of our faith. This is all going somewhere. And with that awareness comes responsibility. And this helps us understand the mysterious parable we read this morning. We know, we are the ones who know, that the true destiny of our lives is more than just financial security and a happy retirement. We are the ones who know that the true destiny of our lives is something deeper and more important. The true destiny of our lives is an eternal, loving relationship reconciled with God. We're the ones who know. It's important. It's crucial. It's perhaps even the most important thing we can do, to be working on that relationship right now. To be living the kingdom life now in our lives. Otherwise, we'll end up like bridesmaids who just aren't ready for the party. We'll wind up like wedding guests, unprepared for the banquet. We're the ones who know. We're the ones who know that we're headed to God's kingdom. And in that kingdom, the sad divisions that we like to create between people will all disappear. Divisions of wealth, of culture, of education. The division we draw between successful people who really have this competitive society of ours all figured out, and other people who, for whatever reason, just struggle. We're the ones who know. We're the ones who know that those divisions aren't permanent. They'll disappear. We're the ones who know. It's important. It may even be the most important thing to live differently now, to live a kingdom life now, to prepare ourselves for life in that real kingdom where those divisions won't be important at all, to live in a way now that recognizes the fundamental equality of all God's children in the kingdom to come. We do that every week when we gather at communion, because up at that communion rail, when we gather at the altar, there's no more distinctions between any of us. It doesn't matter where we're coming from. No one gets any more than they need, and no one gets any less. We are all precisely and utterly equal. We're the ones who know that that's a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. We're the ones who know we have a responsibility to live that way out there. And that's what our strange parable this morning is all about. Responsibility, ours. Stewardship of a treasure that's been entrusted not just to three slaves, but to us. The great, unimaginably precious treasure that's been entrusted to us is knowledge of the kingdom. Knowing where it's going. We're the ones who know. The treasure we've been given is that awareness, but with awareness comes responsibility. Will we bury God's kingdom? Will we put it away as something private or something just purely spiritual, not really part of our practical everyday life? Or will we use that awareness, that treasure, actively to live lives right now that are worthy of the kingdom, to live lives of compassion and hope? Will we file away God's coming kingdom as a nice story for someday? Or will we let it inspire us to act right now, tomorrow, this week, to go deeper and deeper into our relationship with God? This is the treasure we've been given. What will I do with it? What will you do with it? We strive. And our intention and our hope is to be productive slaves. We want to be the ones who don't bury their treasure. We want to be the ones who use their treasure. Our treasure, the kingdom of heaven. We want to be the ones who bring that treasure to the world around us that's looking for it and needs it desperately. Our treasure is the kingdom. Our responsibility is to use it now. In Jesus' name.